There are times when the Bible will issue a commandment here and there, once or twice or three times perhaps. And then there are times when the Bible will include a commandment over and over and over again, so many times that you just can't even list them all. As I began to start searching for this particular commandment tonight, I found it seven or eight times without even having to try very hard. So I'm going to just read a few of these verses to you. But before I do, let me just start with this thought. One of the most dangerous things that we can do as born-again Christians, dangerous might not be the best word. It's something that is just, it's wrong. It's something that will get us in, can get us in a great deal of trouble, is we say to ourselves, everything is all right. We evaluate ourselves and we say to ourselves, I'm doing just fine. I'm obeying God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. When the truth of the matter is, sometimes we aren't even close. And then the danger with that is, over the years, it seems to be that it's contagious, and so other folks can kind of get the same way. And I think it's clear, I'm sure it's true, I think it's clear that in many of our churches today, that this commandment that I'm going to show you tonight is virtually disregarded. And folks have just said to themselves, I'm all right, everything's fine, when the truth of the matter is, they're not even close. Now, the Bible warns us in James. The Bible says that you got to make sure you don't treat the Word of God like the mirror that you look into and then you go away and don't make any change. So we need to be honest with ourselves. This is something that is good for us. But when it's as it is good for us, it is good for other folks. And let me read you some verses here. And be ready to move through 1 John just a little bit. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. The Bible says, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Go to chapter 4 and look at verse 21. He says, this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now keep going just to the next page here. You'll come to 2 John and look in 2 John in verse 5. Reasonably well understood that 2 John is written to a church, but it's kind of in a coded language. The church is called the elect lady. And so he says in verse 5, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now let me read you a couple of verses. John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples right before the crucifixion, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I forgot, I think it was Pastor Harris that preached on that. The commandment is not new in the sense that we love one another, but it's new in the sense that we should love one another the way the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. How did the Lord Jesus Christ love you? He loved you and I in spite of our sin, in spite of our imperfection, in spite of our failures, in spite of our weakness, in spite of whatever you want to list. He loved us and He gave Himself for us. Amen? So there are two aspects at least, if not more, two certainly. One of those is He loved us in the sense that He loved us in spite of what we were. And secondly, He loved us sacrificially. So that's a commandment that we're given, and He called it a new commandment that we love one another as He loved us. And then He says that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 15:12. This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of things about love tonight. And again, I just caution you. If I was to ask you, do you love the fellow members in your church? Okay, let's back up one step. Does God command us to love the fellow members in our church? Okay, is it true? Some people are easier to love than others. Okay, but that's not what God said. is it true that God commanded that? This is not a choice. It is a command. Amen? And it's not a command that has an escape clause or some exceptions. He didn't say love them except or unless thus and so. He just commanded us to love one another. And the commandment is eternal. It's not something that we love them for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years and then we stop, or we love them until they offend us and we stop, or we love them until it costs us something and we stop, or we love them until they hurt us and then we stop. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us in spite of all those things. Amen? Now, so I just want to, and I just say this, I compliment you. I think I'm preaching to the choir tonight for the most part. You know what that phrase means? I think you're in good order in regard to this command. But if you're not, let's make sure we make things right. Brother Hickson. Oh, thank you. I'm glad somebody would tell me. I thought it got quiet. There we go. There we go. Okay. So I just want you to know that it's good for all of us to examine ourselves, because sometimes we can be guilty of saying, yeah, I love everybody, and then we start to think, you know, there is that one or two or three, and I really just, whatever, don't care for them or something. That's not what the Lord said for us to do. Amen? All right, so let's look at this just a little bit, and I want to ask you to turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. How many of you have ever taken piano lessons? Okay. How many of you can play the piano? All right, not quite so many. How many can play the piano well enough to play with people singing? Okay, just a few. All right. Amen. Brother Antonio, come up here and play the piano for me. I understand. You know, the best way to find out whether or not we're really in compliance with what the Word of God says is to find a way to test it, right? In other words, I can say to you, I know how to type. Well, let's sit down at a typewriter and see how you can type. And you know, maybe I type 5 words a minute. That's not really typing. Brother Antonio plays the piano about 5 words a minute, I think. So that's not playing the piano. But I can play with one finger, but you wouldn't want to sing to it. The test that I want to show you here, first of all, in Romans 13, is a very specific one. It's in verse 10. The Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. The word ill has to do with evil or with harm or perhaps slander or insult, as is to speak evil of them. And the best way for me to communicate this is to ask you to think of somebody that you really, truly love. Now, husbands ought to really, truly love their wives. Sometimes, sadly, they don't, but they ought to, amen? Wives ought to love their husbands. Here's an interesting thing. The Bible commands the husband to love the wife. It doesn't command the wife to love the husband. It commands the wife to obey the husband. But the husband's to love the wife. If you love someone, like I guess the best illustration I can give right now, and it would just be easy for you to see, is I love my granddaughter, Gracie. And I love my granddaughter, Gracie, in spite of the fact that every time she comes to my house, she leaves fingerprints all over everything, and the glass windows and the tables. And I love my grandson, Titus, and there's more challenge in that because he breaks things. But I love them, and I would never even consider saying something offensive to you about my granddaughter. I wouldn't do that. I love her. I definitely wouldn't do that about my wife, for example. I love her. Now, I would never hurt my granddaughter. In fact, I would protect her. Because when you love somebody, love worketh no ill. If this is simple, and yet I'm afraid it will escape us if we're not careful. If you love somebody, you will do what's best for them. You will not do what hurts them, or you will not hope that they get hurt, or you will not say things about them. You will not insult them in public or call them names or say something derogatory about them. That's not love, amen? And so I got to ask you tonight, Oh, let's back up to the top of this real quick, and let me mention this to you. Do you think God can give us the ability to do things that we can't currently do? Do you think God has, that he can give us the ability to do things that we cannot do in our own power? So I would suggest to you tonight that as you start to think about it, you say, well, you know, it's hard to love some people. They really are offensive, or they've hurt me, or they've done something that's very, very injurious, and maybe they've hurt somebody else that I loved, and for that reason, it's hard for me to love them. I really think God can bring us to a place where we love each other more than we could have in our own strength. And I think God can do that. So love worketh no ill. And if you want to ask yourself the question, how am I doing in relation to God's command that we love one another? Just simply ask yourself, are you prepared to say that for every member of our church, that you want good for them, that you want them to succeed, that you want God to bless them, that you want them to be happy and to prosper and so forth, and to see God's blessings in their life? And I think I'm preaching to the choir for the most part, but be careful. I'm going to tell you, one of the ways the devil will attack Vision Baptist Church is by getting a hold of a church member and causing them not to love other folks, particularly causing them to love themselves so much that they see other folks as a detriment to their happiness or as injurious to them somehow. And then they lose sight of this command that Jesus gave us to love one another, and they begin to actually dislike or hate one another. I have heard people stand up in churches and address other church members, and for all intents and purposes, what they should have gone ahead and said is, I hate you. I want you to know something. That's wicked. Don't do that. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ commands us to love one another. If we love one another in the way that Christ commanded us, we will be such a tight-knit group that other people will see it and they will know that there's something special about us. And that's why I made the opening comment. I know a lot of churches that you go into and you just don't, and I hate to even say it, but you don't feel the love. You can just tell there's something going on. Folks, when people come into our church, if they don't know a whole lot else, they should know two or three things. Number one, we love God. And number two, we love each other. And we love the Bible. Amen? And let's just kind of tie that together just a little bit, if I could. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Hebrews, James, Peter. So I mentioned to you that Romans 13:10 teaches us love works no ill to his neighbor. If we love, we won't hold a grudge. We won't want someone to be injured. We won't speak badly about them. 1 Peter 3:8 says this. He says, and above all things. Well, that's an interesting statement. Let's just think about that for a minute. Above all things. What is he saying? This is most important. This is first. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians in a minute and show you some more of that. But he says, above all things, have fervent charity. The word charity is the word, the Greek word agape. It means a love that acts in action. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's my second thought. First of all, love worketh no ill. If you're trying to injure somebody, you don't love them. And secondly, in verse 8, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I've already alluded to this, but when you love somebody, you will forgive them. There's an encouraging thought there, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Amen? So he forgives us, doesn't he? I'm sure glad the Lord loves me. I don't deserve it, but I'm glad he loves me and he forgives me. And now he told me that I am to love others as he loved me, and so I'm supposed to be forgiving. You say, but Pastor, you just don't know what they did to me. I know, but I know what I did to Christ, and he forgave me for that. And I know how Christ is able to forgive, and I think he can give me the strength and the wisdom to do that as well. If we don't love people, then what's going to happen is very clear here. If you look at the verse and read the backside of this coin, he says, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so in the absence of charity, Every little thing is going to be a problem. I don't like the way they talk to me. I don't like the way they act. I don't like the way they walk. I don't like the way they, I don't like this. I don't like that. If you love somebody, you know, I don't like the fact that Titus came over and wrote all over my table one day. But I love Titus. And I forgive him for that. He's a 2-year-old and his dad can buy me a new table. Amen. It's just a TV tray. It's not but $150, Levi. No problem. Amen. Just kidding. I don't like the fact that, I've told you this story before. Gracie came to visit us in Maryland a couple of summers ago, and she fed my dog a five-pound can of honey roasted nuts. My dog was sick for a week. I'm talking sick. Don't even think about it. Sick. Everywhere, every way. Sick for a week. Don't feed your dog honey roasted peanuts. Amen? And don't feed him 5 pounds if you do. And but you know what? I didn't say, well, you know, that's the end of that. I never will talk to Gracie again. Take her and get rid of her. Now, we were kind of happy when they picked her up that time, but that's a different story. But, you know, we forgive people when we love them. Amen? Let's just go on the record. There's nobody here in the room that's perfect. And two things will always happen. Number one, sometimes people will offend you and they won't even know it. And sometimes people offend you, sometimes, and they do know it. It doesn't matter. In either case, we should love them enough that we care for them and we forgive them. I may or may not have told you, but when we first moved to Salt Lake City back in the 1980s, we moved there in 86, and we lived in a little house in Murray, Utah, and had a little dog that weighed about 10 pounds, a really cute little dog, and we'd had this dog now for, oh, I don't know, 4 years, probably something like that. The dog was fully grown, and we were getting ready for an activity in December, and I don't believe in premonitions. You know what premonitions are, where you kind of think about something that's happened, but I'll just tell you, I was getting dressed to go to this activity, and it dawned on me, I bet you my dog got out and got run over by a car, and I got dressed, and I walked out into the front yard, and sure enough, at the end of the street, my dog was laying in the street, hit by a car. And I walked down, and the little dog was laying there in the road, and it was bad. A little dog's leg was broken and flopped back. The little dog was broken open. And I reached down, and I picked the dog up, and I curled the dog in my arms to take her back to the house, and she was biting me the whole time. And she wasn't biting me. The reason she was biting me is because she was in pain. And I carried the little dog back to the house, and we called the people and said we couldn't be there and took her to the veterinarian. And $800 later, we got our dog back. And she lived a full, healthy life. But I never forgot that dog biting me, and I knew exactly why she was biting me, because she was hurt. You know, I could have thrown the dog on the ground and said, well, that's fine. If you're going to bite me, I'm done with you. Well, I'd have been the fool. The dog was biting me because the dog was hurt. I took the dog to the vet. The vet fixed the dog up, sent me the bill, and the dog was doing fine. And I'm glad I let the dog bite me so that I could help the dog. I want you to know something. Sometimes people will bite you when they're hurting. But that doesn't mean we throw them down and walk away. Amen? Especially when they're church members. He says in 2 Peter 4:8, he says, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, just a couple of moments and we'll be done. You know I'm going here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I will mention one more thing, although I don't want you to turn there. But in 1 John chapter 4, I want to read you a verse. And we talked about this last Sunday night a little bit. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Someone says, oh, I love God, I love God, I love God, but I sure do hate him and her and him and her. The Bible says he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? I want you to know the way that you prove, the way that you demonstrate, the way that you express your love for God is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just plain as day right here. It's certainly one way, a very important way. But let's look at these three or four verses here in 1 Corinthians and we'll be done. And he starts out in chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 1. And he's speaking to Corinth, and you know Corinth had a problem with tongues, and Corinth had a problem with thinking that they were really spiritual. Oh, if you talk to a Corinthian, he'd tell you he's a role model of spirituality, and he's right with God. And there's an interesting thing in 1 Corinthians, because they weren't even close. They were carnal, Paul said. But anyway, he says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's a loose paraphrase, not that the words in here is inadequate, but just to give you the idea. The Bible says, if you do things without love, if you say things without love, all you are is a noisemaker. You know, sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, just a noisemaker. The love is what makes the message of what it ought to be. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, you say, oh, Pastor, I know my Bible so well, and knowledge, and though I have all faith, oh, Pastor, I trust God with all my heart, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And I just remind you, this isn't the first time God's given this message to this church. Steve Harris put a board over there last November in our missions conference and preached the very same thing. Folks, I'm trying to get us all to understand it's important for us to love one another. God says that's the first thing above all things. And he says, without this, we are nothing. You say, well, Pastor, I can be faithful and I can work hard. If you don't love one another, it doesn't make any difference. So then just real quick, and we're looking beginning in verse 3, he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now watch verses 4 through 7, and we'll be done. Just real quick. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Now, here's my question. Again, we can say, I know how to play the piano, or I know how to type, or I know how to whatever. We can say, I love my brother. Check the list. If you love your brother, if you love your sister in Christ, if you love each of your fellow church members, are you long-suffering? Verse 4. In other words, do you put up with things? Do you let things happen without giving up or without walking away? Are you kind? Are you kind? Charity envieth not. In other words, somebody else has it and I wished I had it. That's not what charity does. Charity says, I'm glad they have that, rather than saying, I want it for me. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, is not puffed up. It does not say, look at me. In fact, the truth of the matter is, we should be saying, look at Christ. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. In other words, it's not rude. It's not unkind. It's not inappropriate. It doesn't seek her own. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. In other words, it doesn't lose its temper. It thinks no evil. It doesn't want bad things to happen to somebody else. It rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't want... Sometimes we see somebody sinning and we say, yeah, I knew they were going to do that. What we ought to do, we ought to be brokenhearted about it and pray for them that God would restore them instead of being that way. I just want to ask us tonight, if God would give me the strength to do it, do we love each other in this local church? Amen? And let's ask God to make sure that we do. I've heard people, and if you were to ask them, they would tell you, oh, I'm doing just what God wants me to do. I've prayed about it, and I'm right with God and all the rest. And I've heard them say some of the most unkind things about fellow church members, and I know something. The Bible says if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. The Bible says if you don't love your brother, that you've missed the most important thing of all. And when you miss the most important thing, other things will follow. And I would ask you, it's something that God needs to do, but I would ask you, would you go before God and then make every deliberate effort you can to love one another in this church? Sacrificially if necessary. Even when they hurt you or even when they don't do what's right. You know, when I first went into the ministry, I didn't understand. You deal with a lot of people that are wounded or that are out of God's will. And it's really hard to love them sometimes because they do some of the most difficult things towards you. But you know, that's kind of like being a doctor. When you're a doctor, you're not a doctor because everyone's healthy all the time. You're a doctor because people get sick and people get hurt. You're a church member because sometimes people get spiritually ill and sometimes people spiritually are out of God's will and will do things that will hurt you. It's our job to love them anyway. Amen? By commandment, pray for them. Love them as the Lord loved us, sacrificially if necessary. Let's bow and have a word of prayer if we could.